As I said, we're reading from Lamentations chapter 3, verses 1 to 24, and it says this: I am the man who has seen affliction by the rod of the Lord's wrath. He has driven me away and made me walk in darkness rather than light. Indeed, he has turned his hand against me again and again all day long. He has made my skin and my flesh grow old and has broken my bones. He has besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and hardship. He has made me dwell in darkness like those long dead. He has walled me in so I cannot escape. He has weighed me down with chains. Even when I call out or cry for help, he shuts out my prayer. He's barred my way with locks of stone. He has made my paths crooked. Like a bear lying in wait, like a lion in hiding, he dragged me from the path and mangled me and left me without help. He drew his bow and made me the target of his arrows. He pierced my heart with arrows from his quiver. I became the laughingstock of all my people. They mock me in song all day long. He's filled me with bitter herbs and given me gall to drink. He's broken my teeth with gravel. He's trampled me in the dust. I've been deprived of peace. I've forgotten what prosperity is. So I say my splendor is gone and all that I had hoped for from the Lord. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you and praise you for those words. Not easy words to hear, because it's like a word of complaint, looking at all the bad things. But then it turns around, Lord, and says, but this I remember, how faithful you are. Lord, help us to remember that in all that we go through, Lord, whether it be tough times or easy times, Lord, you are with us, and you are being faithful. So, Lord, as we listen to the words you've placed on my heart to share, Lord, I pray that you'd speak to each one of us. Help us to apply what you're saying to us. Help us to listen with spiritual ears and open hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been doing a sermon series on Romans. And last week we thought about Romans chapter 4, verses 1 to 25, which was entitled Justified by Faith. But I want us to take a little step back from Romans over these next couple of weeks because we have Easter coming up, etc. But one of the things I want us to look at this morning from Lamentations chapter 3, verses 1 to 24 is the faithfulness of God. So we thought about being justified by faith, but now I want to think about the faithfulness of God and how we can be faithful. So the faithfulness of God. What is faithfulness? If we were to say someone is faithful to our cause, the thing we believe in, we would mean that that person is fully supportive of it and wanting the very best for it. So they become someone to be trusted, someone who is reliable, who believes in what we are doing. They are regarded as faithful. Faithful to the cause. When we consider God's faithfulness, we see that he is fully supportive of us. Wants the very best for us. He can be trusted. He is reliable. He believes in you. He will never let you down because he is 100% faithful. This is the faithfulness of God. The story is told of a little boy who wanted to go to his friend's birthday party. He's been invited to his friend's birthday party. And he gets so excited. He's so excited about the day. And he's starting to count down the days to the party. But the morning of the party, he's actually devastated when he looks out the window and sees that there's been a massive blizzard. A big blizzard had struck his little town. The snow was falling in wet, heavy flakes, and the wind was howling. "I don't think you should go to the party," said his dad. The boy was so disappointed. He began to plead with his father, begging him to allow him to go. And finally, much to the boy's surprise, his dad said, "All right, you can go to the party." The little boy put on his hat and his coat and his mittens and started down the street to his friend's house. And when he got to the door, he turned around and saw his father turning to walk back home. It was then he realized that his father had been walking behind him all the way to make sure that he was safe. There are many times when we feel like we are alone. But in truth, we are always surrounded by the love and goodness of God, by his faithfulness to us. We can count on him as always being faithful. We're surrounded by his love, we can count on him by always being that he's always faithful. As it says in Joshua 1 verse 9, it says, "The Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." I find that is a great statement of faithfulness to God. Whatever we do, wherever we go, he is with us. This too is the faithfulness of God. And his faithfulness proves him true as one who keeps his promises. Because of his unlimited power and capability, our God is totally faithful. I love reading the Old Testament. I don't know if you like reading the Old Testament, but when you come to Numbers chapter 23 verse 19, it says this: "God is not a man that he should lie, that he should change his mind. Does he speak and not act? Does he promise and not fulfill?" Now to this I want to shout, no, of course not, of course not. When he speaks, he does act. When he promises something, he does fulfill it. And Paul is more concise in the New Testament when he adds these words: "The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it." 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 24. In other words, we can trust him. A passage before us this morning builds on this trust as it reads like this: "Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Great is your faithfulness, the faithfulness of God. Yet with all this said, this Lamentations reading is about lamenting. It's about lamenting. But what is lamenting? It's to passionately express grief and sorrow over something. It can be also considered like voicing a complaint. This lament is about the conditions of life, that which God has allowed. Jerusalem has been captured and Israel has been sent into captivity. Something that the writer, this is Jeremiah writing here, that he's actually taken on the role of Jerusalem as if he's become Jerusalem, thinking as if he is Jerusalem. What would this city feel like? As he declares his feelings. Verses 4 to 6 says, "He has made my skin and my flesh grow old and has broken my bones. He has besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and hardship. He has made me dwell in darkness like those long dead." And then in verses 11 to 13 it says, "He's dragged me away from the path and mangled me and left me without help. He drew his bow and made me the target for his arrows. He's pierced my heart with arrows from his quiver." Yet in all of this, there is still the faithfulness of God, as we finish with verses 21 to 23. I wonder how you feel when things go wrong. How do you feel? When the world seems to be against you and you start to crumble, how do you feel? Are we to blame God? Or do we ask what he might be teaching us through this? You know, Lord, this is all dreadful, but what are you trying to say to me? What do you want to teach me through this? You know, I hate to say it, but for most of the time, we wallow in self-pity, don't we? Everything's gone wrong for us, and it's not fair. Perhaps we shout out, why, Lord? Why has God allowed this? Doesn't he love me anymore? In some ways, we are familiar with the language of lament. Yet in the New Testament writer James tells us, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. Because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. James chapter 1, verse 12. The book of Acts, written there in chapter 14, verse 22, informs us that we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. It says you must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. And to that I say, why? But can I suggest to grow us in our faith so that we become firmly grounded in Jesus? I recently read this. It's a question. It says, how do you test the strength of an anchor? How do you test the strength of an anchor? Expose it to the blast of the storm. Simply, how does God test our faith? By exposing us to the hardships, distress, even sleepless nights, so that our thoughts within the situation are turned to God. This is exactly what we see in this Lamentations passage. The writer laments. He says, he has walled me in so I cannot escape. He has weighed me down with chains. I became the laughingstock of all my people. They mock me in song all day long. He has filled me with bitter herbs. He has sated or filled me with gall. He has broken my teeth with gravel. He's trampled me in the dust, and I've been deprived of peace. I've forgotten what prosperity is like. And yet, although his soul is downcast within him, as it says in verse 20, his thoughts within the situation turn to God. Yet I call this to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. You know, this Jeremiah is looking at all the bad. And it's, oh, this is terrible. This is what's happened to me. And in that, within the situation, he turns to God. Thinking on these words, because of the Lord's great love. We find that the root meaning of that word love is a covenant love, a promised love of loyalty that's connected to compassion and mercy, mercy which never ends. We are not consumed, whatever the circumstances we face, because his compassions never fail. By covenant, a relationship of commitment, God has called you into existence. And his compassion, his loving mercy towards you, his child, will never end. This is how great his faithfulness is. This is the faithfulness of God. No matter what we go through, hardships, trials, God is faithful. But you know, we talk about all that, but what do we do with this faithfulness? What's our part? What's our part? You know, when Ruth and I moved to Bournemouth, the idea of living next to the sea thrilled us. We loved the sea. To live next to the sea was absolutely amazing. It was just at the end of the road. You know, you go down at the end of the road, it's 6 minutes walk, you're on the cliff tops, so another 2 minutes, you're down on the beach. And we said to each other, let's go down. Let's walk on the beach, paddle in the sea. Let's promise to do this all the time. And for a while we did. And it was wonderful to be going down to the beach at the end of the day as the holiday makers were coming up. You know, they'd been in the sun. We used to call them lobsters. How many lobsters can you see? Because, you know, they were just burnt. And they were coming up, and we'd go down and we'd say, right, you've finished for the day on the beach, we can have it now. And it was fun. The beach was now ours. But you know, time passed. Our trips to the beach became less. Busyness took hold, and trips in the car to other places were just passing the common. You know, that passing common of how rough the sea was. Oh, look at the waves out there. Look at the white seahorses on it. Or how blue it was. You know, those things became so common. And well, the beach, it was just there. We said, well, it's just there. We know it's there, but our trips to the beach became fewer and fewer. What do we do with the faithfulness of God? What's our part? Well, firstly, we must not take it for granted. We must not take it for granted. We must not be saying, well, it's just there. You know, God's faithfulness is just there. Because nothing is more important in our life than God's faithfulness. Why? Well, Deuteronomy 32, the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy 32, verse 4, points us to this answer. It says, God is the rock. His works are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just as him. To put it another way, God is faithful, and we can trust in him. Out of all the things that go on around us, out of all the people in our life, there is nothing and no one we can trust more than God. And we need someone to trust. Evidence of this, of God's faithfulness, is in the cross of Jesus, in the cross of Jesus' witness to die for us. His faithfulness is sure and steadfast. And we must not take it for granted. And secondly, we need to make it our own. We need to make it our own. A part we play in God's faithfulness is that we need to make it our own. By this I mean, by the way we emulate his faithfulness in our lives. How? By when we say we'll do something, you know, we need to do it. You know, I'll do that for you. And then we need to actually do it. When we give our word, we remain faithful to it. This means when we promise God something, we stand on our promise. In the Old Testament, it used to be read about people taking vows. You know, that meaning they promise something to God. And then how they fulfilled those vows. When we say something, when we promise God something, we need to stand on that promise. And when we promise each other something, we need to stand on that promise too. I love what James says in the New Testament, James chapter 5, verse 12. He says, let your yes be yes, and your no be no. If you're not going to promise something, say no, I can't do that. But if you're going to promise it, say yes. If you're promising something to God, don't mean no, say yes. Making God's faithfulness our own means being truthful in our words, our actions, and our deeds. But how do we achieve this? I have a little picture of a tree on the screen there. I'll tell you a story. Story of two little boys playing in the snow. One said to the other, let us see who can make the straightest path in the snow. His companion readily accepted the challenge, and they started. One boy fixed his eyes on a tree and walked along without taking his eyes off the object he selected. The other boy set his eyes on the tree also, but when he had gone a short distance, he turned and looked back to see how true his course was. He went a little distance further, and again he turned and looked over his back to see where his steps were. And when they arrived at the tree, each halted and looked back. One path was as straight as an arrow, while the other was a bit of a zigzag course. How did you get your path so straight? Asked the boy who had made the crooked steps. Why, said the other boy, I just set my eyes on the tree and kept them there until I got to the end. while you stopped and looked back and wandered out of your course. You know, this is a perfect picture of the Christian life. We must fix our eyes, a hope of hope, our eyes of trust, our eyes of faith upon Jesus and Jesus alone. I believe that this is how we can make God's faithfulness our own. How we take ownership of it. How we become truthful in our words to Him and each other. How we can step away from taking the faithfulness of God for granted. How we can become firmly grounded in Jesus. It is by fixing our eyes of hope, our eyes of trust, and our eyes of faith firmly on Jesus. Not looking to the left or to the right, but straight ahead of Jesus. Friends, God is faithful, even in the tough times. Even when we too want to lament because things seem so tough. We want to have a, you know, just say, Lord, this is what it's like. Even in those times, God is faithful. But we must not take His faithfulness for granted. No, we must make it our own by keeping our eyes on Jesus. For when we do, we, like Jeremiah, the author of Lamentations, will be able to say, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, I am not consumed, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank You and praise You for those words. They are challenging words. And we need to keep our eyes focused on Jesus, to not swerve to the right or to the left, as we remember how faithful You are, God. Lord, help us to be the same in our faithfulness as we keep our eyes on Jesus. To actually remember that when we promise something to You, that we need to make good on that promise and say, yes, I will do this. When we promise something to each other in word or action or deed, that, Lord, You would help us to make true that promise, to be faithful, to be known as faithful, because we emulate You, who are faithful. Lord, we lift this to You. Praise You and thanking You for Your faithfulness. In Jesus' name. Amen.